And a lesson tonight, and what I picked was a topic called choices. And as Bob has selected the songs, we are going to talk about the choices we make, what they mean, also how they are associated with baptism, and also how they are associated with temptation. So with that, I'm going to start off by, we're going to talk about choices, baptism, and then temptation. So that's what I'm going to present tonight. First of all, choices. We all make different choices in our lives. In fact, we make choices daily. For example, we make a choice whether or not we're going to eat breakfast. I sometimes miss, but I should be eating breakfast. But I don't because my schedule. And I chose not to eat breakfast. We have choices, the clothes we put on, the routes we take to work. So we make daily choices in our lives. We also have in our lives life-changing choices. Choices that we make that affect our lives. One being our career path, the direction we go to, whether or not we are pursue education or we work with our hands. So we make those type of choices in our lives, and they affect our livelihood. They affect the means that we have to acquire funds in our lives. Another life-changing choice would be the mate we pick, the spouse we select. It's important because that spouse will be with you for the remainder of your life. And you make those choices. Another life-changing choice that we have when we become a Christian. We choose to exercise our free will and become a Christian by submitting to the Lord through via baptism. So there are spiritual choices that we make. And those spiritual choices are with us till we die. As Christians, we have the ability to study the Bible, to read what God's Word is, and make application of those things to our lives. Excuse me. It's essential that we put God first, family second, and then everything else third. So our priorities in our lives are towards God. There are some examples that we're going to explore that they didn't put God first. One would be in Genesis, where Adam and Eve chose to disobey God. So if you turn with me to Genesis chapter 2, I'd like to read verse 16 and 17. The Lord commanded the man, saying, "From any tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat from it, you will surely die." So they had to make a choice, Adam and Eve. And Satan took on the form of a serpent and tempted Eve. And in the next chapter, chapter 3, verses 2 through 6, we read, "The woman said to the serpent, 'From the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it, or you will die. And the serpent said to the woman, you surely will not die, for God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from it fruit and ate, and she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. So we see they had made a choice. And their choice was to disobey God. They exercised their free will by listening to the serpent, and we see that they committed sin by their disobedience and them eating from the tree of life. Another choice is Abraham. In the 22nd chapter of Genesis, we read from verse 1, and now it came about after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, Here I am. He said, take now your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you. Abraham had a choice, to listen to God or offer up his son. And we know what happened through that story. We see that, jumping down to verse 11, when Abraham stretched the knife up and was going to kill his son as an offering to God, God knew that his faith was strong and he was faithful to God. In verse 11, but the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. He said, do not stretch out your hand against the lad and do nothing to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you had not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham raised his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up as a burnt offering in the place of his son. Abraham had a choice. His son came to him in his late years when he was 100, and now God was putting him to the test. And that test was to have Abraham offer his son, his only son, to God as an offering. It would be kind of hard for you and I to conceive. Oh, thanks, Don. One of these days I'm going to shake this cough. It seems that if we were put in that situation, it would be a difficult choice. But since we dedicated our lives to Christ by becoming a child of God, if God came to us and said, offer up one of your children, we would have to make that choice. And hopefully we make the right choice. Remember, when I started, we had said the priorities of a Christian is to put God first, put your family second, and yourself third. And that's the way we should live our lives. Abraham's faith was tested, and he passed the test. In fact, in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, the writer talked about Abraham and his faithfulness. And that's something that you and I should be striving for in our lives as Christians. Another choice that was made by individuals was after Peter's first sermon in the book of Acts, chapter 2, starting with verse 37. We read, "Now when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Brethren, what shall we do?' In verse 38, Peter said to them, 'Repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself.' And with many other words, he solemnly testified and kept on exhorting them, saying, 'Be saved from this perverse generation.' So then, those who had received his word were baptized, and that day there were added about 3,000 souls." So after Peter's first sermon, these individuals in the audience that were there realized that God was offered up on, Jesus was offered up on the cross, and they killed him. And that was God's plan so that all mankind could have forgiveness of sins. And these first Christians realized that, and they were baptized. And as the record shows in the book of Acts, 3,000 were added to the church. That's an example for you and I. It's an example that we should remember that Jesus Christ died for our sins. And we do sin, and we'll get into that a little bit later on in the lesson. Another example we have in Acts would be the apostles' commitment to Christ. We read in the fifth chapter of Acts, in verse 29, after Peter and the apostles were told, "Hey, don't preach about this Jesus," Peter responded and the rest of the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than men." Again, an example for you and I to follow. Put Christ first. And we have so many examples in the Bible, from Joseph to Daniel, to also King David. He sinned just like all men do, but he repented from those sins. We have examples in the church here today. People are faithful. People who put God first at all costs. An example that we should pass on to generations after us. Which brings us to baptism. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, Paul said, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." All men have sinned on their account. We can't get away from that. We today, as Christians, we sin also. But we have an avenue through Christ Jesus to correct those sins. Whether it be a private sin or a public sin, we have the avenue of prayer to talk to our Father in heaven. We also see that in John chapter 3 and verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." God sacrificed his Son for humanity. So it gives you and I the opportunity to have access to heaven. It doesn't guarantee us when we're baptized we go to heaven. But it gives us the opportunity to live a faithful life to the best of our ability, and worship and show God the glory and honor that he deserves. Paul said in Romans chapter 5, verse 6 through 11. For while we were still helpless, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for a good man someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. For if while we were enemies we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only this, but we also exalt in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have received the reconciliation. That's a $2 word. Reconciliation means setting right, making something right. In my business, we do that constantly on projects we take on, making sure we reconcile the dollars to what we had said we were going to spend. And that's the same thing now here. We're reconciled to God for our sins through Christ Jesus' blood that was shed on the cross. We don't merit heaven on our own, but rather it's by God's grace we will have access to him through Christ Jesus. And Paul said that in the 6th chapter, verse 23. Another verse that we have in the book of Matthew, where the apostles were sent forth to go out and baptize people. Jesus said to them, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. The apostles had a job. And when you look upon the events in Jesus' ministry, they were right there all the time. But at the time of his death, all the apostles disappeared. They were afraid because they were afraid they were going to lose their lives. But Jesus said to them, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So they had a job to do, and they did. They passed the word throughout the world. And while they were crusading for the cause of Christ, a lot of them lost their lives. Even to the point of being humiliated and eventually dead. As we read in Acts, the 2nd chapter, Peter and the apostles that particular day boldly preached the message of Christ. We see that Peter said to them, repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. What do we do today in our lives? Do we just come to this building and just listen to sermons, or we boldly stand up for the cause of Christ? By your examples, by your being here and the way you live your lives, we are doing it. We are boldly going forth in this area, and we are presenting ourselves as Christians by the way you deal with people, by putting God first, and standing up for Christ at all times. We bring others to Christ, and that's our job. There are examples in of baptism, for example, in chapter 8, verses 25 to 35, and we won't read that. The Ethiopian eunuch received Christ. Just to paraphrase that, Philip was sent to him, and he was reading the book of Isaiah. And this eunuch said to him, "Hey, I don't understand what's happening. Can you show me?" And Philip preached Jesus from that point. And at the end of that particular book, we see that he was baptized. We also see the conversion of Saul. Here's an individual who was very dedicated to God. I particularly like his faithfulness to God, Jehovah, and his mission in life was to stamp out the way, to imprison, incarcerate Christians, even to the point of death. But the Lord appeared to him in the 9th chapter, and the vision of the Lord blinded him, and Ananias was sent to him, and Ananias knew this guy, and said, "Look, he's out to imprison your people. Why do you want me to go out to him and bring?" Jesus said to him, "He is my instrument to go forth to the Gentiles." Ananias listened and took Paul, and then Paul was baptized. And we know his life. He was very instrumental on spreading the gospel. An example that you and I have to go forth in this community and teach others about Jesus. Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. He was a soldier, and he heard about, he was given a vision, and Peter had the vision, and we see that in the 10th chapter, Cornelius and his household was baptized. Another of two examples we have in the 16th chapter, Lydia, a merchant of purple, heard God's word, and she was baptized. And also the jailer, when Paul was in prison, miraculously the chains broke off them, and they were singing, and the jailer thought, "Well, they're all going to escape, and it's going to be my life that I would have to forfeit because I wasn't doing my job." So what did Paul say? "We're still here." And the jailer brought Paul and his comrades to his house, and the jailer and his household was baptized. They heard God's word. In this particular reading, we see in the 6th chapter, Paul said in his letter to the Romans, starting with verse 3, "Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore we have been buried with him through baptism into his death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old self is crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin, for he who has died is freed from sin. Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live in him." Those first few verses, we see that in verse 3, we're baptized into Christ's death. Verse 4, we were buried with him in the newness of life. We also are united with him in his death, and we shall also be in his resurrection. We also see that our old self was crucified with him. The body of sin done away with, we no longer will be slaves to sin. And he who has died is free from sin. Now Christ Jesus died for us so that we may have forgiveness of sins. We died with Christ, we also believe that we shall also live. We're going to have that opportunity to be with Christ in heaven and honor and glorify God. Jumping down to verses 18 and 19, we see that, and having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I am speaking in human terms because the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, resulting in further lawlessness, now you present your members as slaves to righteousness, resulting in sanctification. So here's the parallel. When we're under sin, we are slaves to sin. The devil has control over us. We're no longer in God's graces. Because God doesn't like sin. He turns his back towards sin. But when we become a Christian, we become slaves to righteousness. And if you understand the term of slave, you are someone owns you, and that is God. I'm a slave to my work. My company pays me a salary, so I'm a slave to that. I have to give them my loyalty. As Christians, when we become baptized to Christ, in Christ, we become slaves to righteousness. So it's up to you and I to understand how to live a righteous life so that we will be hear those words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." So it's up to you and I to do that. Temptation goes along with this. Satan will use any opportunity to pull a Christian away. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, Paul said to the saint of Corinth, "No temptation has overcome you but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape, also so that you may will be able to endure it." Let's go back to the example of Abraham. He could have chosen not to listen to God, not to offer his son, but he did choose to offer up Isaac as a sacrifice. God gave him the way out of that. So when we have sin and temptation in our lives, we can overcome that. One way of being is make sure you immerse yourself in the Bible. Understand what God's will is. Understand how to conduct yourself in a righteous way of life. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, Paul said, "Be imitators of me, just as I also am of Christ, so we can be as Christ-like." So it's up to you and I to emulate Jesus in our lives. When you go to Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, we see "Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses," referring to chapter 11, those saints who are very faithful in their lives to Jehovah God, surrounding us, "let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, Let's run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostilities by sinners against him, against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. So we have Jesus Christ, who is the author and perfecter of our faith. Look at him. He could have said to God, I don't want to do this. I don't want to take on this awesome responsibility of dying on the cross for the sins of the world. But he did. He said, if this be your will, it will be done. Let's follow his example. And we see in Matthew chapter 4 how he withstood the devil. Starting with verse 1. Of Matthew chapter 4. And Jesus, who was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, and after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he then became hungry. Can you and I go that long without food and water? It'd be kind of hard. But Jesus did. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, command these stones become bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but by on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. We have God's word here in front of us. We should take that to heart and listen to what he says, and tailor our lives so that we can be faithful to him. Then the devil took him into the holy city and had him sit on the pinnacle of the temple. And he said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command these angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not strike your foot against the stone. What did Jesus say? Verse 7. Jesus said to them, on the other hand, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. And again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, go, Satan, for it is written, you shall not worship the Lord your God and serve him only. And then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and began to minister to him. Follow Jesus' example. When you are tempted in your lives, just remember, just tell Satan to leave. And God's going to give you the opportunity, because he's not going to put a temptation in front of you that will cause you to forfeit your life. He's going to give you the avenue to escape that. So put God first. We make choices. We became a Christian, and as becoming a Christian, we should put God first in our lives at all costs. When we were baptized, we chose to put on Christ in our lives. Follow his example. When we are tempted, make sure you pray to God and ask for the strength to overcome that temptation. You may want to talk to one of your brothers and sisters to help. Pray with each other to strengthen you in your times of weaknesses. With that, I'm going to close.